On a midweek Wednesday, we welcome you to the gym class, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City and the surrounding areas. You're listening on the South Gym, 106.3 FM. Welcome in, Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer across the glass. Taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here today on a Wednesday. We're going to talk wrestling, a lot of wrestling today. High school state dual tournament is underway. 3A, 2A, and 1A. We'll let you know the results of that coming up here in just a couple of moments. Mark Ironside will join us as well, as Mark will talk about Iowa Senior Day against Nebraska and what's coming up in the offing. Iowa's going to take on Edinburgh. That'll be coming up in the national duels. We'll talk a little high school wrestling with Mark as well coming up here in just a little bit. Bowling Night in America preview. Also, the NFL, maybe not out of San Diego. We'll kick that around a little bit and more. All that coming up here on a Wednesday edition of the program here today. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Afternoon, yeah, and a couple big basketball games tonight for Iowa State and UNI. We're formulating a poll question in that regard right now, but we'll have both those games on KGYM.
Yes, we will. It's an early start today. It's 5:30 start time, pregame, Iowa State down in the Little Apple to take on the Kansas State Wildcats down in Manhattan. We'll have the pregame for you at 5:30, just past 6 o'clock with the tip-off tonight. That will be down at Bramlage Coliseum in Manhattan. That'll be on 1600 AM. And then as soon as the APC, which will be heard on the FM signals tonight from 5:30 until 7 o'clock, 107.5, 106.3 FM, make that notation. As soon as they wrap up at 7 o'clock, we will head you up to Cedar Falls and the McLeod Center as you and I will take on the Bradley Braves tonight. And that'll be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We got wrestling going on. I love this time of the year. It's very busy. It's hectic, but man alive, there's so much to do, and it's just a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, bowling teams punched their tickets to state yesterday, and we brought you that, Jeff Downing at Lancer Lanes, and congratulations to all those teams and individuals who are going to compete in the state tournament. You mentioned state duels wrestling. Traditional wrestling gets underway tomorrow. And then we've got postseason basketball underway as well.
Yep. Some more games coming up tonight. The big classes get into it tonight. Classes 4A and 5A get their postseason started this evening with some pigtail games out there, and those get underway at 7 o'clock tonight. State wrestling tournament. Got the chance to talk to John Randles last week.
Bubba,
affectionately known as Bubba, who is the voice of the state wrestling tournament. He's the guy on the PA out there for many years. It was Ed Winger for many years, out of Urbandale. And Ed Winger, of course, that's what the Urbandale tournament is named after, Ed Winger. And now it's John Randles, Bubba. I asked him if he was ready to go, if the voice was good. He said, 100%, we are ready to go. And I said, what do you got to do? Because he's doing this for 4 straight days without much of a break. You know, I've done games. We had the famous 4 in a row, the one year at the Girls' State Basketball Tournament. You know, it's just constant talking, but it's not for the entire day. He said, no, I'm just, no secret, I'm just ready to go.
He's a pro. He's done it before.
He's a pro's pro.
Very good.
Yeah. So that'll be if you tune in on Saturday night or Friday night or wherever, if you happen to get the state feed or the feed, we do in Eastern Iowa. The guy on the PA, as they get on the award stand, that's Bubba, John Randles from out of Prairie High School.
State duels going on and some pretty good area representation right now as teams head into the semifinals?
Yeah.
Finals
for some, yep. Especially 2A. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's take a look at how things have progressed so far in Des Moines at the state duels. In Class 3A, we will start there. Earlier on, about the noon hour today, was Cedar Rapids Prairie taking on Southeast Polk. We talked about it yesterday. Polk, the number one seed. Prairie comes in number 8. 36-23 win for Southeast Polk, so they do advance. Prairie didn't wrestle bad, probably a little closer than the final score indicates, or maybe not as close as the final score indicates, I beg your pardon, because as soon as Southeast Polk had it wrapped up, They put in some look like the JV guys at the very end, so Prairie got a little bit closer there. But still, the Hawks did not wrestle bad in that one. So Southeast Polk advanced. Waverly Shell Rock beat Western Dubuque in the first round, 43-30, and then West Des Moines Valley and Fort Dodge won. Now, Fort Dodge had to go to the final match to beat North Scott, 30-27. That came down to the final weight class of that one. So North Scott wrestled very well in that one. Now, in the consolation semifinals, Prairie did bounce back. They beat Western Dubuque 47-21, and North Scott beat Indianola. So it'll be Prairie and North Scott wrestling for fifth place. That will come up at 4:30 today. Western Dubuque, you will wrestle Indianola for seventh and eighth place. That will be coming up a little bit later on at 4:30 as well. The championship is going to be Southeast Polk versus Fort Dodge. Fort Dodge upset West Des Moines Valley 34-31, and then Waverly Shell Rock will meet up with West Des Moines Valley in the third place match coming up tonight. 2A, Eastern Iowa doing very, very well. It will be a New Hampton-Solon final, like Wyatt predicted yesterday. New Hampton beat Denver Tripola in the first round. Davenport Assumption with a mild upset of Creston Orient Maxburg, 39-36. Then New Hampton beat Assumption, 46-24. Solon all over Sergeant Bluff Luton, 62-12. And then all over Washington Iowa, who upset Atlantic in the first round. So he had four Eastern Iowa teams in the semifinals there. Solon beat Washington, 61-12. So it'll be New Hampton and Solon wrestling for the championship coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Assumption and Washington, Iowa will battle for third place. And in Class 1A, it will be the final everybody's anticipated as well. Don Bosco against Lisbon, second time around. Don Bosco won the first time in Gilbertville in front of a jam-packed house up there about a month ago. Don Bosco beat the Roadrunners of Interstate 35, 39-30. Again, one of my favorite nicknames in all of the state of Iowa, 39-30. And Don Bosco beat Lake Mills, 36-28. Lisbon beat Wapsie Valley, 50-24. Lisbon beat Missouri Valley, 42-27. And so it'll be Don Bosco taking on Lisbon coming up tonight in the dual championships. They're going to have the fifth and seventh place matches coming up at 4:30. First and third place matches tonight at 7 o'clock at Wells Fargo Arena.
We talked to Wyatt Schultz yesterday, and during the course of the conversation, I asked Wyatt, what's the fewest number of wrestlers you can take to the traditional state tournament and win it?
I remember that
question.
And
Wyatt said five.
Mm-hmm.
We had a texter yesterday who believed Clarion won it one year with four wrestlers. I got a very interesting call after the show yesterday from my friend Bob Thurness, your friend as well.
That's right. Hi, Thurney.
Coach of the 1980 state championship Marion football team, highly successful pretty much everywhere he has been, but he was in Eldora.
Not Eldora, New Providence, mind you. This was Eldora.
In the mid-1960s, without any knowledge of the sport, he was asked to start a varsity wrestling program. I think he said 1966. 3 years later, now Thurney had relinquished the head coaching job in wrestling because he was coaching football and about everything else at Eldora. He handed it over to a guy named Dick Jensen. In 1969, there were three classes then for state wrestling. Eldora, with three wrestlers, won the state championship.
They must have all won the championship.
They all won the championship. Back-to-back-to-back weights, 154 Dean Barnard, 165 Matt Clark, 175 Jim Clary. And Eldora, 3-for-3, three wrestlers won the state title by 8 points over Logan Magnolia. Not only that, I think Dean Barnard was the guy. I think it's Barnard that recently won a Masters National championship.
Yeah, get this.
At age 65. If I got that wrong, Thurney, I'm sorry. But it was great to talk to Thurney, as always, but a great story. I mean, three wrestlers winning a state championship.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Now, I haven't gone back to the state tournament was first sanctioned in 1926. I haven't gone back and tried to verify this, but for right now, we're going to say Thurney's Eldora team in 1969, three wrestlers, a state championship.
Why would he not? I can find that real quick here. What year was 69? Eldora.
Oh, I know that, but going back to 1926, was there any any others besides that?
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know.
You know who the faculty sponsor for Marshalltown was? The first state championship team?
No.
Adolph Rupp.
Really? That Adolph Rupp.
Who later became a pretty good basketball coach.
Down in Kentucky. Yeah. There's an arena named after him.
There is as well. I thought that was a great story, and I appreciate Thurney sharing it with us.
Well, I do appreciate that. Do appreciate that. 14, make it 15 past the hour at 3 o'clock. Mark's here in studio. We're going to talk to him coming up in a moment. A couple other things. I wanted to get to Kenny Arnold a little bit, and I think we'll talk about that toward the end of the program today. Of course, great piece today with Mike Halas in the Gazette. Of course, Saturday is going to be a whiteout designated at Carver Hawkeye Arena for the Iowa-Illinois game. Kenny Arnold, that team that he was on back in 79 and 80, they are going to have a reunion. You have the T-shirts out there that are for sale at various locations that you can pick up. And the proceeds are going to go to Kenny Arnold. And just a great thing. In fact, talking with Steve Bergman, the Iowa City West coach last night, we're going to have West and Xavier boys tomorrow night for you on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, and then joined on 106.3 after the district game with West Branch and Wapello tomorrow night. They don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they're going to have a fundraiser tomorrow night. I know that Bergie was going to get in touch with Ryan Lersman and the staff over at Xavier. They're going to try to get things put together so that they can raise some money for Kenny Arnold as well, mm-hmm. And to help him out. Kenny, and we'll talk more about this coming up later, but needs all the help that he can get out there. No doubt about that. Just a great guy, too.
He's not in a good way. He had a brain tumor at age 25 and has battled other health issues over in Illinois, and will not be able to make it to Carver Hawkeye Arena. But if you're wearing a white shirt, why not purchase a Kenny Arnold one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd love to see Iowa go back to those uniforms, too. They were sharp.
Well, if you get the same result, why not?
They were sharp back in the day. So we'll kick that around a little bit as well. And what will $50,000 get you in a scholarship fund? We'll let you know about that coming up later on as well. And will the Chargers, will they remain in San Diego? But not the Chargers, because the Chargers are leaving, but the Chargers may come back and stay in San Diego. We'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later on as well. Jerry Ask Investment Services text line out there available at 319-366-1600. I am going to go out later on, stop by the Hennessy Recreation Center before we go bowling tonight, and go say hi to Frank Howell, the former Washington girls coach who is back at Graceland College. He has taken over that program, and they are in town tonight to take on Mount Mercy. So, and Mount Mercy's coach, Micah Mims, former player for Frank Howell at Cedar Rapids, Washington.
I should imagine a lot of Washington alumni and fans will be out there to see Frank. And Frank was an excellent coach, and I know he just wanted to broaden his horizon a little bit and get into the college ranks. Graceland has not been very good and is not very good this year, although it did upset the defending national champion.
Yes, they did, American Nazarene.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's starting to get things turned around a little bit, and looking forward to saying hi to Frank tonight before we hit the alleys this evening. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and we're going to talk wrestling with Mark Ironside. We'll do it when we return after this. It is a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM. It's a huge Class 2A Girls Tournament Showdown this Friday night on KGYM. This is Scott Unanch. Join Steve Dozer and me Friday at 6:50 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM for a Class 2A Regional Semifinal as number 5 North Lynn hosts Grundy Center. The Tri-Rivers Conference champion Lynx have only one loss in the year, and they welcome the Spartan team at 19-2 and champions of the NICL West. That's Girls 2A Regional Semifinal Basketball presented by First Federal Credit Union. Grundy Center at number 5 North Lynn. Friday night at 6:50 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, KGYM.
Once upon a time, there was an office full of grumbly staffers with computer issues.
So they called us. We love a challenge.
They needed a rescue from troubled servers, networks, blue screens of death, and more.
That's what we do for businesses in the corridor, and we have been for over 30 years. We are IT Solutions.
They are IT Solutions.
I just said that. Anyway, we know a properly configured and maintained computer network can make your employees 5 to 15% more efficient.
That's a whole lot of happy.
Yeah, it is. We monitor our client systems to make sure they're working. A lot of times, we solve a problem before a client even knows there is one.
Sounds like secret high-tech stuff.
Sure. Our clients have a dozen to a few hundred computers, some a few less, but they all have a lot of happy and productive employees because their computers work.
And they can stay focused on
taking care of their customers instead of their computers.
Find your happily ever after at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com to learn more.
When I grow up, I want to be a piano player because my parents will be proud of me.
When you were a kid, you were free to dream.
I want to be a mermaid.
I like the idea of being a scientist.
I also want to be a tooth fairy.
At American Family Insurance, we believe now is when you should dream more than ever.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
320 back with you here on The Gym Class, Wednesday edition here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Mark Ironside's appearance is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency. American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee, you can't miss it. Stop on by and let Kurt take care of you over there, he and his staff, and they will do a great, great job. We promise you that. And tell them that everybody at KGYM sent you along. And Mark joining us here in studio before he dons a tie and heads off to Des Moines. He's tired because you've been driving all over Iowa, you told us.
Yeah. It's 'tis the season, you know. These teams need their shirts before the state duels. That doesn't really leave print shops very much of a turn time to get that stuff done and delivered. The state duels really confuses and kind of messes a lot of things up. And they don't think of printers when they put the state duels on Wednesday.
They don't consult you, do they?
No, no. Not at all.
Nah. Well, we'll get to high school coming up here in a little bit, but start talking about the college wrestling here, and as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned, now you said this the fur was going to fly Sunday. It did a little bit, especially after that second match when Nebraska was deducted a team point there. But I would. Other than that, I thought Iowa looked pretty good.
Things settled down a little bit after an Iowa fan got thrown out, and the cops had to come down and sit behind the Nebraska bench, and the Nebraska coaches got a team point deducted, and. After that, things calmed down a little bit, but it was a very entertaining meet. It was a good meet for the Hawkeyes, all except for that one match at 133 pounds where Corey Clark gave up a reversal and 4-point near fall. And I don't think at the time he realized that he gave up the reversal. I think he still thought he was in control and possibly getting the near falls himself. And by the time he figured it out, it was too late. And then once he did figure it out, he said, hell, heck with this, then I'm going to go back on top. And he just basically went right back on top and got his own reversal back. But he just cannot get in those type of situations. And Coach Tom Brands addressed that specific thing in the team meeting afterwards, and he did the same thing against Cade Brock from Oklahoma State. You know, you cannot put yourself in those type of positions. If you're doing a good job, you're staying behind the hips, you're covering the hips, you're riding the hips, and then you're staying behind the arms, riding wrists like he normally does, you're not going to be in situations like that. And you don't just ride to hang on to a guy and either just to try and gain some riding time or let the clock tick down. You ride a guy to turn him at all times, and that's how you're going to ride him the best. And the same goes for Thomas Gilman, and that's why he got called for stalling on top in the second period. Thomas Gilman just really, really did not look himself on Sunday with getting a stall call on top, and he really probably could have gotten a second one, and getting ridden for the entire third period, another two-minute period, for the last two out of three matches. So definitely showing some vulnerability there.
Well, Montoya may be a hot dog, but he's no slouch.
No,
which leads to my question of how healthy is Corey Clark.
Definitely his shoulders and hindering him for sure. I mean, if you watch him take shots, it's his left arm, and he shoots with his right arm. His left elbow doesn't even leave his side. I mean, he's like literally out there wrestling with one arm, and at that level, it's just rough. It's hard. And we've seen Matt McDonough go through it, a few years back. And unfortunately, now we're seeing Corey Clark do it. So I think Corey Clark's done a decent job of trying to change up his offense a little bit to manipulate around the injury. But when it comes down to it, it's tough to, that level, when you're basically wrestling with one arm and don't have that full strength, it makes it pretty hard.
And still did pretty well against a tough opponent, Montoya. Whatever you think of him, he's tough, and they're probably going to meet again.
Where Corey really just messed up, it was his own fault. I mean, he gave up a takedown early, which I don't know if he's quite ready for. But two, it's just that top position, giving up 6 points. He gave up 6 points. It's kind of hard to rebound from giving up 6 points in the third period, and that's just a mistake of his own. And like I said, Tom addressed it with him, and hopefully he, doesn't ride like that anymore, and he stays where he's good, and he wrestles smart.
Well, Iowa reeled off 6 straight wins after that, starting with Topher Carton, a very good win there for him. But I know Nebraska didn't wrestle a couple of their starters, but still, after the Montoya-Clark match, Iowa got things rolling.
Yeah, that was a huge match for Topher Carton, especially being on senior night, beating Colt McChrystal. I think he was ranked 10 at the time. That's the highest-ranked guy that Topher Carton's beaten all year long. He's been so close to so many guys ranked right around there, and he's kind of come out on the short end of the stick, losing at the very end or by 1 point here or something. But that was a match he was able to finish, and I was really happy for him that he was able to do it in front of the home crowd fan on senior day. So, and then after that, Sorensen looked pretty good. Going back to the post meeting after the meet team meeting,
you weren't happy the way he started though.
Sorensen, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Tom Brand's like, hey, 13-5, you get a major decision. With 0 points in the first period. Now you start wrestling that first period. Now we're looking at technical fall. Okay. And you can't start that slow. You just don't have 0 points and then just start rattling them off like that later on. And you have to have more of a sense of urgency. And Tom, in the meeting, I thought did a really good job. And really, I'm not going to say he didn't call out Sorensen, but he addressed him in front of everybody and, put a lot more emphasis on, Sorensen not pulling the trigger than what he has in the past. And I like seeing it. So, and then 157 was a fantastic match again between Kemmer and Berger, a rematch of the Midland Finals that went into overtime. That Kemmer, man, he just comes out firing. He doesn't score right away, but he gets right back in on that shot, and he scores. And that Berger has unbelievable defense and hips, which Kemmer obviously does as well, too. And if anybody saw that match, and Kemmer almost got taken down at the end there and how he fought that off and came out of that, I mean, the guy's just crazy good, and it was just a very entertaining match, and it was a huge win for Kemmer because the one in the Midland Finals was questionable whether he had two or not. This one was not. It was a pretty decisive 3-2 win for Michael Kemmer.
And then Brooks, last time he was on the mat, he goes out and gets a pin, and that was good for him. He was happy about that.
They didn't wrestle Dudley, who was ranked third. And I just, you're starting to see more and more of it. And I personally have an issue with it. I'm not a head coach.
He ran up the white flag at that point. Manning did.
Yeah. I mean, he basically knew that the dual meet was out of contention. He brought a backup 84 pounder on purpose. So if the dual meet's out of contention, there's no sense in putting Dudley out there to hinder a ranking or seed for the Big Tens. No, Dudley's third, we're fourth, so Dudley's going to get a higher seed come the Big Tens. And he didn't want to really put that up for jeopardy, so he didn't wrestle him. And to me, that's just wrong. But at the same time, Tom Brands gets called out on it for not wrestling Brooks against Jackson 2 days before that, Indiana. So, you can look at both sides there. I just wish you'd see these matchups. And every coach has every reason why they didn't do it and this and that. But when it comes down to it, they're protecting something. And I don't really care. The thing is that the fans come to see Dudley and Brooks wrestle. I mean, you want to see that match. And then when you go to Indiana, Indiana doesn't have anything but Jackson, and they want to see that match of Jackson and Brooks. You know, and
you don't want to see LeBron James sit out a game when it's your only opportunity, right?
Exactly. Okay. You know, I mean, we're not, you know, college athletes aren't professional athletes, and, you know, wrestling is pretty grueling and so forth. But, you know, at the same time, you know, the argument I have towards that, I get it and I understand that, and I think you're right. The argument I have towards that is LeBron James isn't protecting a seed or anything like that, you know, whereas in, you know, a situation like wrestling right now, you know, but you're starting to see it more and more, and I don't like it. Back in the old days, and I hate saying that and using that terminology, but you never saw anybody duck anybody to save a seed. You know what Tom Brands would have said to Coach Gable if Coach Gable said, hey, I'm not going to wrestle you this week because he's ranked fourth and you're ranked third, and I don't want to mess this up, you know? I mean, I don't want to lose your seed. You know, I want to protect your seed. You know, I mean, seriously. I mean, you just, you don't see
what
Tom.
What would you have said?
Tom would have went through the roof.
The PG version,
yeah,
please?
if Coach Gable says, hey, I'm going to have you stay back because, you know, this guy's, you know, he's pretty good and we got another guy coming up. I said, okay, whatever. And then when he got on the bus, I'd have been on it. I'd already been right, sitting right there. Or I would have gotten my own ride there, you know? It just, you know, but maybe they don't, you know, then you hear, well, they don't make them mentally tough anymore type of stuff or whatever. But I don't buy that. They're not going to get tough if you baby them like that. That's the thing, you know? You just, I don't know. I just don't like seeing it. And as I said, it's not just Nebraska. It wasn't just Iowa. It's everybody across the board, the whole country. And it's ridiculous. And to me, it's getting out of control. Just wrestle them.
The story of the weekend was you and I, was it not?
Yeah, that was humongous for you and I.
Down in Columbia.
Yeah, down in Columbia. Now, they're going to have to turn around and defend that at the MAC conference up there in the McLeod Center here in a couple weeks. So, where, you know, they're hosting the conference championships, and Missouri will be coming up into UNI's territory. And you can bet Missouri, they're going to be wanting some revenge at UNI. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But huge kudos to UNI going down there and taking it to Missouri, really up and down the whole lineup in front of their home crowd. That was good to see. That's a big, big win. That's probably the biggest win for Coach Schwab since he's been there.
Oh, I would agree. I it's big. It's a bigger win than going to Ames.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's even bigger than beating Iowa State even 2 or 3 years ago when they did for the first time in a long time. That's what they just did there. That was pretty impressive.
11:21 on the text line. Earn your seat and wrestle.
I agree. I agree.
I don't think anybody's going to go against that thing right there.
It just I don't know. You know, it just, you know, the fans come and see and they want to see something like that. And, you know, the other thing is you bring up the LeBron James thing is those athletes are getting paid, you know, millions of dollars and this and that. And, you know, as a sports team or whatever owner, maybe you need to rest a guy a little bit, you know, because, you know, he just needs to be rested, bottom line. I mean, unfortunately it happens, you know. I mean, you can't play every game as many games they play. Same thing in baseball. You know, my daughter would be heartbroken if she showed up to watch Bryant play in Wrigley and we showed up that day and he's not playing, you know, but he's not going to play every single game, every single day. You know, the guys need days off too, and it's not only good for your body, but it's good for mostly for your mental state, you know, and everybody needs it.
No, I would agree. And before the Big Tens, Iowa will take part in the national duels, and they get Edinburgh coming up on Saturday. And that'll be a first-round matchup against the Fighting Scots. You're impressed by that, right?
He's even kind of have the Fighting Scot attire on today, too, Mark.
I do?
The sweater, and you got the color of Edinburgh.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, look it.
I didn't know the color. I
you
just
do.
Knew the Fighting yeah. Scots. Because I got to keep track of the
it's
Fighting Scots.
It's not plaid, but it is the color. It is a sweater.
What about Edinburgh? What do we know about Edinburgh?
I know that the 165-pound match is going to be the biggest match for the Hawkeyes. That's an opportunity for Joey Gunther, who got into the rankings for the first time all year last week. I think got into there at 17th. He's going to be taking on Austin Matthews, who's a redshirt junior, 15-5 record. He's going to be taking it. He's ranked as high as 8th. That would be a big, big win for Joey Gunther if you know, he can get that and make and get that done out there in Edinburgh. The rest of it, I think the Hawkeyes are pretty much going to dominate. Obviously, heavyweight, we're a little weak there. Their guys ranked 13th or 18th, depending on what poll you're looking at. But at the same time, that'd be a great opportunity for Stephen Holloway to do some damage there too and keep some momentum going. I thought Holloway actually did okay against Jensen from Nebraska. I mean, he ended up getting majored, but he wrestled him tough, and he was taking shots. And the thing is he got out from underneath him. And Kyle Snyder, World Olympic champion, got ridden by him last week for a whole entire 2 minutes. He couldn't get out, but our 197-pound backup got out, backup heavyweight. So he did some good things. The other thing is when a second shot that he hit, he cut the corner a lot harder. He was learning, but he just, you know, when you're giving up that much size, it's hard.
Am I right? This is just a series of dual meets. It's not a bracketed tournament.
Yeah, they just take number one versus basically number ones versus number ones in one conference to another, and kind of match them up and so forth. So, you know, I know there's a lot of controversy out there right now with why Iowa is wrestling Edinburgh mm-hmm. when they're ranked 23rd, and we're not wrestling Virginia Tech. Good question. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. You know, I know a lot of people would love to see it. You know, I don't know who makes those calls or what. It'd be a lot more of an interesting match meet if we were going to be going into Virginia Tech and wrestling them at home versus Edinburgh. I know that.
You got Penn State against Oklahoma State on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Did you see Mike Gundy, what he did, on the social network? They got Mike Gundy, the football coach at Oklahoma State, in his office, and he's dressed in a singlet. And he's telling everybody to come out and see the match between Oklahoma State and Penn State.
He's a man,
and he's 40. Well, that was a few years ago, but anyway, it's pretty clever for Oklahoma State. I give them kudos on that.
That is big. I appreciate that as a football coach stepping up and doing that. I mean, I'd be big here if Ferentz did it.
You know? If you get Ferentz in a singlet,
hey, we got Coach Doyle into a frozen lake for frozen pond for the second time.
Wasn't wearing a singlet though, was he?
No, he was not. I'd take a big singlet.
Well, we got some texts in regards to our conversation here on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line 2746. It's the same stuff you've seen in college football. With athletes sitting out ball games, just suit up and play the game or wrestle. 6739, is brand softening, or is it just the way it is now?
I don't want to say softening. I think how Coach Tom Brands looks at it is he's looking out for the best interest of his athletes. And that's just the best way I can put it. It's just looking out for the best interest of them, you know, as far as resting them goes. And I can for sure see Corey Clark not going to Indiana. You know, I mean, the guy's hurt.
Yeah.
Indiana first because he didn't go there either. But then possibly even Edinburgh. You know, something like that I can see for sure. You know, and look out for the best interest, trying to get the best seat or whatever. But just at what point do you... I don't know. You just
gotta look at the bigger picture, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's always different kinds of variables and ways to look at it, you know. And I look at it as, you know, sometimes what you may think is the best entrance might be hurting him more than helping him type of situation. But I don't know. It just it's gonna be an argument that just goes around and around and around. And it's all opinionated. There's no right or wrong answer. I think I have the right answer, and I'm sure Manning thinks he has the right answer why he didn't wrestle Dudley.
Speaking of Manning, Ryan, the food delivery guy, says, I was at the match on Sunday. Awesome show. Is the Nebraska coach stable? Is he always that way?
He gets very animated on purpose. A lot of that was done on purpose to fire up his team, fire up the crowd, draw attention to himself. He does it on a regular basis, but I think he's stable. I mean, I know him very well. I have for years.
He's just trying to get his guys up. He's just trying to get them going.
But at the same time, I agree with the texter there and the fact that, I mean, he kind of goes out of his way to do stuff like that. It's kind of ridiculous. But I think it's a situation you just kind of get caught up in the moment. But I think it's more so just for show than anything else. And I would... I don't know. I mean, I think he's stable, but do I think he's normal? Or do I think he's all with it sometimes? No.
Well, yeah, And you know, you hate to see somebody get kicked out too. I mean, that was a bad situation. You don't want to see that either.
Yeah, the assistant coach Snyder, you know, didn't really do himself any justice either by going and getting right in the absolute nose to nose with the fan. But Montoya is one that started the whole thing by, you know, running his hand across his throat like he's slitting it, and he did that twice. You know, you just can't do stuff like that. But again, you just get caught up in, you know, the moment, the situation. It was a big moment for them. But like Coach Brand said, those guys came for blood. That's where you could see it when that happened and they got all excited. What was really impressive is that we came out right away and we shut it down right away, and we continued to shut it down, pretty much kept it shut down the entire rest of the dual meet.
Yeah. You gotta go to Des Moines now. What, tomorrow, Friday?
I might go tomorrow. We'll see. You know, some of it's being on the computer on Track Wrestling now, so you can watch it. But I might go watch the 3A session tomorrow, then come back and get some work done, and then take off early Friday morning again, and then go back down, and then go for the weekend. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I feel.
It's fun, though. Like we said, even if you're not a big wrestling fan, one time in your life, you got to go to the Iowa High School State Championships.
For sure. I mean, I hear stories all the time and talk to people all the time. You know, even one of my employees, I'm talking to her yesterday about the state tournament and how she knew nothing about wrestling when she was in high school, but they just went because it was fun to go and it was a thing to do, and it was one of the best experiences she said she ever had. It was just crazy fun. And, you know, and it's true. I mean, you just, until you're there, you really don't get it and you don't understand it. But the duels is a lot of fun too. The state duels is when you got a huge section, you know, cheering for one team like that, and, you know, but you got multiple of them going on at the same time, so it's a good opportunity for the state of Iowa. It's obviously one of the biggest things in the state of Iowa. It happens every year. I just wish that we would smarten up and move the state duels away from the day before. You know, like Preston LaGrange today for Prairie, you know, shoulder popped out. And so, you know, he had a default out and done. Well, now the traditional tournament, what's that going to do for him in the traditional tournament tomorrow? You know, just injuries like that. It just does not make any sense at all whatsoever. It makes sense to the association money-wise, but besides that, it makes zero sense in any other form. So
you have to wear a tie on TV.
I called my boss
what?
Today to see what was mandated, and he said I can wear whatever I want.
Oh!
He did not throw out a sweatshirt. He didn't say sweatshirt or anything. He just said wherever I want. So, you know, I mean,
not what you wore at the Polar Plunge.
I can tell you right now, it's not going to be a tie. If I can wear whatever I want, we're not wearing a tie. And I didn't say so. I don't have to wear a tie. He just said whatever I want. And I was like, okay, bye. Took it and ran.
I would agree. Well, hey, you'll feel more comfortable, right?
I will feel comfortable. Nobody sees me anyway. I'm just up there with the headset on. I'm on TV for the first, 15, 30 seconds or something to do the intro. And
just take that tie and after just that, rip it right off.
Take that clip, unhook it, and be gone.
It's not a clip-on for Mark Ironside, though.
Oh, no.
Hey, Kyle, on the text line, asked Mark about the Iowa State job, especially the thought that Terry Brands is the man to resurrect that program.
Terry's not taking that.
No?
No.
100%.
100%. I hear Chris Bono is a front runner. Mark Perry's a front runner. And then also Kevin Dresser from Virginia Tech is a front runner. He's from Iowa. His wife's from Iowa.
I think Kevin Dresser is, I think, he might be the guy.
Yeah, very well could be. And I the thing is, they're going to move on here really quick. I think right after the Division I's is over, if not even before that. I think they'll wait until after the Division I's is over because of wherever coach they hire is at now. They don't want to disrupt that school and that team and before the tournament, you know. So I think the second, basically, the D1 Nationals are over, they'll come out with who the coach is.
He's an Emmitsburg guy, isn't he?
Humboldt.
Okay, right in that area, though.
Yep.
Up there in north central northwest Iowa.
Yep.
Right there. So I think he'd do a good job. All right, Mark, thank you for stopping by, and get some sleep, and we'll see you next week.
That you will. I'm trying to think of next week. Yes, you will see me next week.
Awesome.
I just always got to think about what I got going on in my schedule. I will see you boys next week. Thanks a lot for having me.
Sounds
appreciate
good,
it.
All right, Mark Ironside joins us on Wednesdays, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Back with more coming up after this.
America, it's time for some straight talk. There is no good way to fold a fitted sheet. Nobody really likes kale. And those wireless companies offering no contract plans? Surprise! To get a new phone could mean getting locked into a phone contract. With new Straight Talk Plus, well-qualified customers can get a Samsung Galaxy S7 for as low as $30.12 a month. Requires a 30-day unlimited service plan, still no contract, so you can cancel anytime with no penalties. Come on! It's time to realize the runaround. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? Straight Talk Wireless. On America's largest, most dependable networks. Only at Walmart.
Lease to own transaction for the Samsung Galaxy S7. Total cost is $722.88 with 24 30-day payments plus any taxes and fees except in North Carolina where final payment may be more. No ownership until all payments made. May be able to exercise early purchase option. Retail cost of the Galaxy S7 is $599, subject to change. Customers may end lease and return phone at any time. Wireless service subject to Straight Talk terms and conditions.
Samsung kitchen appliances aren't just beautifully designed, they're beautifully priced, too.
Yeah, well, how beautiful are we talking here?
Up to $1,500 off a four-piece kitchen package.
That is beautiful.
And you can purchase in-store now.
Samsung. Bring it home.
Offer valid February 8th through March 8th, 2017 at participating retailers. Discount taken off regular retail prices. Retailer's displayed price reflects discount. Actual discount may vary by model and retailer. Offer is non-transferable and void where prohibited or restricted by law. Prices is marked.
As any sports fan knows, nothing feels better than winning. And right now, when you come to Applebee's for lunch, you could win big with their all-in burger meal deal.
Come into Applebee's and try one of their all-in burgers with fries and a bottomless Pepsi for just $9.99.
You could win the chance to produce Mike and Mike for a day.
You could also score great instant win prizes, including a free all-in burger meal deal and pro sports tickets.
Hurry, because this deal won't last long.
Only at Applebee's.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
3:45, back with you here on the Wednesday edition of the gym class on KGYM. Basketball coming up. Thank you, Mark. Basketball coming up tonight for you at 5:30 on 1600 AM. They will split away. 107.5, 106.3 FM listeners, you will stay with the Afternoon Players Club. It'll be Iowa State down in Manhattan to take on the Kansas State Wildcats coming up tonight. Huge game. Huge game in the Big 12 coming up tonight for both teams.
Nice segue to our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Which team will finish higher in its league, Northern Iowa or Iowa State? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Now, Northern Iowa is, what, third right now in the Missouri
that
Valley?
That is correct. That is
Iowa
correct.
State 4. Am I right on that?
Believe so, but let me double check.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a very pivotal game tonight. Kansas State has played with some of the best around. The fact that it's a home game, certainly a game that Iowa State can win. I think it's going to be a very, very good game.
Like I told you, I think you asked me beforehand, does Iowa State win tonight? I said, I can't figure this team out. When you think they're going to do well, they don't play well. Seems to be, if Iowa State, two things. If they can play defense, if they want to come out with that mentality, they're going to play defense. And if they shoot threes well, they're in good shape. Iowa State right now is fourth. They are 7-5. West Virginia is 8-5. Kansas has a two-game lead right now in Baylor, and basically Kansas wrapped up the Big 12 almost with that come-from-behind win against West Virginia. The remarkable, miraculous come-from-behind win. 14 down with 2.5 minutes to go. And that brought flashbacks to last year's NCAA tournament that I did not want to live again.
Crazy game, isn't it?
With UNI and Texas A&M. But, yeah. So Iowa State right now is fourth. Kansas State is 5-7. Wildcats really need this game because if K-State loses, they drop to 5-8. They drop all the way down to eighth place in 16-10, and they are at 51 right now in the RPI. So K-State loses tonight, and that puts them directly on the bubble with a couple weeks left. Iowa State is 55 right now as far as the RPI is concerned. They're in a little bit better shape because even a Cyclone loss tonight, still 7-6. They dropped to 15-10, though, with the overall record. But, boy, K-State is – you got to think they're going to be hungry for this one tonight.
Couple pivotal games in the Big Ten tonight as well. Maryland early game at Northwestern.
Yep.
That's going to be very interesting. And then later on, Indiana is at Minnesota. And you stick a fork in Indiana with the loss here?
They're done.
Yeah.
Indiana's done unless they win the Big Ten if they lose tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty good chance. I don't know. We'll see. Minnesota's playing well right now, and Indiana is so beat up at this point. But and if Minnesota wins, they go to 7-6, and then you're thinking, well, maybe there's six teams. And then you got Michigan right behind them. What's the committee going to think about the Wolverines? They've started to play well. They won in Indiana, even though Indiana's not playing real well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the Big Ten is very muddled and why the Big Ten didn't have anybody in the top 16.
But now I think it's 4-6 teams, depending on what happens from here on out.
It can't get to 7, can it?
I don't think so.
I don't think it can either. I think it's 6 at the very most as far as the Big Ten is concerned. UNI isn't there. They're 8-6. Southern Illinois is 7-7. And Bradley, better than last year, but on the bottom still. They're tied with Indiana State. Greg Lansing, I thought that was... They played Iowa State down in Orlando. Should have beat Iowa State. Mm-hmm. Should have beat Iowa State in that tournament first round. And Iowa State came back and won that game. And since then, Indiana State has just not done anything. And I hope...
It's true of most of the league, actually.
Except for the top two.
Yeah.
Except for the top two. Wichita State's 23-4. They're 45 right now. Illinois State is 21-5. They are both 13-1 in the Valley. Illinois State's RPI is up to 34 now. So I don't know what else can happen. You got two teams in the top 50, and they're 20-plus wins already. I'd rather see that than a 5-9 team from a power conference. Why do you play? And I get it. I understand what Jerry Palm says, what he told us. I understand. I get it. But nobody wants to play him. Same thing with Steve Bergman last night. Jeff Johnson asked him, why are you going to all these tournaments? Because nobody's going to play us. Nobody wants to play us. What do you got to do? Nobody's going to go to Wichita to play. Nobody in a Power 5 league is going to do that.
Yeah.
Because they're nuts. The only way they'll play him is on a neutral court once. And usually it's a 2-year deal, and you got to go to their place the other time. And that's not going to help things out. 319-366-1600.
I would probably tab Northern Iowa in that poll. UNI has won 8 out of its last 9 in the league after starting 0-5. I think I'm right on that.
Mm-hmm.
And really nobody behind the Panthers really scares you a whole lot.
No.
And we'll talk to Kevin Lehman the week from Friday.
Yeah, next week we're going to talk to Kevin Lehman. Also putting things together to talk to Landon Castle next week on the week of the Daytona 500, the Great American Race. We'll see what Landon has to say about the segments coming up next week. So looking forward to that, indeed. Looking forward to tonight as well. It's 3:51, and we have not gotten our Bowling Night America preview, and I know there are a lot of people out there that are now turning the radios up. They want to listen intently, because it is our Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl. They are located on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
It is indeed Bowling Night in America. It was Bowling Day in America yesterday for the high schools. Bowling Night in America tonight. I got a text at noon, Scott, from someone on Viking Lounge. I won't mention Brian Moore's name, but Buzz, nice to hear from you. Viking is our opponent tonight, and for whatever reason, I make out the schedule.
You do.
A month or so ahead of the season, maybe a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I have no idea.
And then nobody pays any attention to it.
Right. I have no idea who we're bowling from week to week. But uncannily, is that a word?
I don't know.
Think that's right.
Sure, why not?
It's uncanny that whenever we bowl against Viking Lounge, I'm off. I get the night off, and that's the case this week. Now, I made a call to one of the guys. I think the three Bruners are on. Hey, can I bowl tonight? And they would have probably said yeah. But I think right now, the fact that I'm not bowling is in at least one person's head on a Viking Lounge.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to mention Brian Moore's name. But I don't think you got to deal with this tonight.
I know I got to deal with it.
I'm off. You're on. Warren and Wayne, I think they could probably care less.
Brian.
Could care less.
Matt Young could care less.
No, he's going to be watching the Iowa State game.
Yes, he will. But, yeah, that's the matchup tonight. We're tied for fourth, 15-42 in the mature Evergreen League. And we'll try our best against the guys, some guys that can really put up some numbers.
Yeah, and it's position night.
Dough on the line.
There's a little cash on the line tonight, too. They also let me know about that. Hey, there's a little cash on the line tonight. So you might not be in their heads as much as you think.
Well, we'll find out in just a few short hours. You've got open bowling questions, league questions. Want to throw a party out at May City Bowl? Great place to do it. Give them a call, 362-0136. Visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, we'll come back and have more for you after this on KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
I ride my bike to work, pack an organic lunch with produce I buy locally. It's all good, but face it, green living can cost a little more. Here I am saving the planet, and my wife hassles me because we don't have savings for a rainy day. So I go to Dupaco for a free money makeover. They recycle all my loans into one easy payment that saves enough green to fertilize my savings account and even help me kick a little back to my community. Dupaco's cooperative thinking puts money to work locally by providing friends and neighbors low-cost loans, funding for small businesses, and more. With Dupaco's sustainable money methods, you can save the planet, save your marriage, and still save a little extra for fundraisers in your neighborhood.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
Dupaco Community Credit Union. Federally insured by NCUA.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Insure.
Trust. Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Always good to hear from each and every one of the Viking Lounge guys during the break.
Yep, my phone blowing up.
Mine is too, but yeah. It's at my desk. It's not in here. So, yeah. Hi to the guys. We'll see you tonight in about 2 hours. And we'll have fun out there at May City Bowl. Hey, again, coming up, Iowa State basketball at 5:30 tonight on the AM. Mentioned that the NFL might not, yes, it left San Diego, might be coming back to San Diego. The former former owner of the San Diego newspaper, Mark, has said that he has enough people together that they can fund themselves a 70,000-seat stadium in Mission Valley, which is somewhere near Qualcomm Stadium, where it is located right now. They are looking maybe to bring the Raiders to San Diego instead of Las Vegas. So you would have the Chargers moving to L.A. You'd have the Raiders moving to San Diego. It's like the Ravens all over again with Cleveland, except for I don't think they are going to be able to keep the Chargers' name.
Stay tuned for Chapter 5 or 6. The strange thing about that is somebody in the newspaper business has that much money? Really?
Used to be in the newspaper business.
Okay. I guess the owners do pretty well, but that's the funny thing about that.
Used to be in the newspaper business out there. And again, Saturday, the whiteout for Kenny Arnold to help him out. And again, I know they're going to be doing something at West High tomorrow night for the Iowa City West Xavier game. Steve Bergman's putting together something. Going to try to get the Xavier folks in there as well to help out. So, help out any way you can to
absolutely.
A great, great cause.
Hope everybody responds. Good luck and good bowling.
Thank you very much. I will keep you updated on how things progress.
And we'll keep you updated tomorrow. Give you an update on what happened with the Viking Lounge.
Indeed. And wrestling tomorrow along with John Cran. APC, they're next. KGYM.
So our team just started using GoToMeeting to web conference, and it's been surprising. Well, guys, our company is growing fast. I'm thinking we should expand.